We all have our methods, I guess is a good word, a good as word as any. I carry what I refer to as a legal pad. I believe that's what they're called. What a lawyer takes to the table when he sits before the judge, these yellow, and I only write on one side of them, but I've got about 30 years worth of them where I've made my notes for sermon. I call them sermon preps. Aaron asked me this morning when I came in if I was ready. I says, I don't know. We'll find out in a little bit. And that was from Navy training. You never told an inspecting officer that you were ready for inspection. You always told him that you're standing by, because when you told him that you were ready, that sounded like a boast, and he was going to find something to correct you on. But if you presented your space and yourself as if you were standing by for inspection, then usually your day went a little bit better. I greet you in the name of our Lord and our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. And again, I want to thank the Goshen Church and the Primitive Baptist Ministers and Deacons Association to be able to stand before you and make the effort to deliver what I believe God has put upon my heart and my mind for this first message of this morning. I was asked last night what I was going to preach on today, and I just said, I don't know. As we were leaving last night, that's not my method. That's not how I try to find what it is that the Lord would have me to deliver to His people. I have to do that when my mind first wakes up in the wee hours of the morning. So I went home to our home here in Jeff City, our little Airbnb that we're staying in, and we feel at home there. But I went there and I went straight to bed, and I think I fell fast asleep. And then I woke up and before the chickens got up this morning, and I got with my Bible, did my daily devotions that I always do, and then asked the Lord, says, show me what you would have me deliver to your people. And that's my method. That's the way Selba does this. And I'm not suggesting that every preacher's got to do it the same way, because if we haven't seen anything else, we've seen at least three or four different talents that God has given to different men in the exercise of preaching the gospel and delivering the truth as it is in Christ Jesus. So I don't need to be like Aaron, and Aaron don't need to be like Selba. And I don't even aspire to be like Comer, right? Or Greg or Craig. You know, it just, we need to be ourselves. We need to take the gift that God has given us and use it to the best of our ability. I think that my ability is waning like the moon, right? The older I get, the less able I feel myself to be. But I believe what I heard last night, that I don't have anything to worry about. What do you got to worry about? Nothing. We were talking about that on the way here this morning, Donna and I, and she said it, and I agree with her. It's easier to say it than it is to do it. And she gave me a thought. See, preaching the gospel is the easy part. I mean, man's called of God, all he's got to do is talk to the Lord, say, Lord, show me. What would you have me to tell your people? That's the easy part, preaching it. Believing it is a little bit harder than preaching it, right? And then doing it, that's a little bit harder than believing it. So if we can think of all that's been preached over the last, what'd you say, hour and a half, 2 hours of preaching, you got to hear it, you got to understand it, you got to believe it, and then you got to heed it. You got to heed it. You got to put it into practice. Yeah. Go with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. And I hope and pray that this is a very familiar place for each and every one that sits under the sound of my voice this morning. I got this at 6:02 this morning, by the way. That's when he let me know that this is where I needed to be. And I believe that. But we'll prove that in the next few minutes, hopefully. Begin a reading there with the 13th verse of that 16th chapter of Matthew. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" I don't think Jesus cared one little bit about what men were saying about him. But what he cared about more than I can describe is what was in the mind and the hearts of his children about him. And to me, dear children of God, that needs to be the first and foremost thing in the mind and the heart of every one of God's called ministers, is how do God's people look at their Lord and Savior? How do they see him? What do they say about him? Who is Jesus to you? And it's not an inquisition, you know. He's not interrogating his children here. He's looking into their minds and their hearts, not to find out something that he didn't know, but to be able to show them what was in their mind and in their heart. Well, we all know who answered first, right? And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets." But he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" I hope that's the question that each and every one of us can answer without hesitation and without reservation. I hope it's in the very fibre of our being. Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are the one that God the Father has anointed, that God the Father has sent, that God the Father has chosen. Mine elect," right? Jesus Christ, the Son, the only begotten Son of God, is God's elect, chosen one to bring salvation and redemption to His loved children. Without exception. And without any help, too, from the children. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Now this is the very Son of God, the Christ, the Redeemer, the Savior, the Lord, the Word of God." Standing before his apostles and talking to Peter and telling him, "Simon Barjona, flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." You cannot say what you just said because you're looking at the Christ, the Son of God. He was right there, just as we are in one another's presence this morning. Jesus was upon the face of the earth looking Peter dead in the eyeball and told him, "You can't say that because of what you see with your natural eye." Selba's going to go a little further and say, "You can't say that because of what you read in this book." The book helps us to gain the understanding of what God has done within us, what God has done to us, and what God has done for us. The book helps us to take that understanding and develop a conclusion in our thinking and find out just what it is of that conviction that abides within our soul. It was God the Father, through the work of the Holy Spirit in Peter, that enabled Peter to answer the question correctly. And that hadn't changed, dear people. It's the same today in 2024 here in the Primitive Baptist Church. What's the name of this town? Thank you. I want to put this church in Ashland, and it's not in Ashland, okay? Right here in Missouri by the river, right? It's the same. It's the same. We can say that Jesus is the Christ because God has given us that. Put it in us through the work of His Spirit to us. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter's not the rock under consideration here. Peter's not the rock that Jesus Christ builds His church upon. It's the divine rock of revelation. It's what He alluded to when He said that it's not because you see Me that you're able to tell who I am, but it's because of what God has revealed unto you. What God has done within you gives you the ability and the power to be able to declare that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God. And that is what Jesus Christ is going to build His church upon. If I understand what the Bible tells us, I will build My church. If you don't take anything else, this was the nugget, if you please, the seed, the germ of the thought that I had this morning at 6:02 that I must deliver to God's children today. Jesus Christ is going to build His church. Selba's not going to do it. Selba doesn't have the ability. Selba doesn't have the power. Selba doesn't have the authority to build the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it ain't my church. I didn't die for it. It's not going to be my bride in eternity. It's going to be His bride. And He's the one that has died for it and redeemed it. And He's the one that has provided wells of salvation for it in time. And those wells of salvation are in His kingdom. Oh, Lord. It's our inheritance. We've been studying in the Old Testament about the children of Israel and how God delivered them out of bondage. What's our sin is our bondage that we need to be delivered from. So as the land of Canaan was to the children of Israel, so the kingdom of God is to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in this day and time, in the New Testament age, if you please. We have an inheritance that God has provided for us. Think of, I was talking to Ken a little earlier, think of nature itself. What in nature continues to propagate that is not provided for? We've had a discussion at Shiloh about human reproduction because it's in the laws, it's in the legislature in Alabama about the Petri dish thing. I don't know if y'all are up to speed with that or not. But in accordance to God's divine order, a child is not conceived unless it has a place to grow and develop and to become what God would have it to be. God is. When God created the heavens and the earth, what was it for? It was the preparations for man to be able to be upon the face of the earth. Because He didn't make him to the sixth day, right? If my memory's serving me, right? So everything that He'd done before was preparation so that there would be a place for man to grow and develop and to be what God intended for him to be. That's the God that I know. He doesn't just do things haphazardly on a whim. He has a purpose. And He fulfills that purpose by everything that He does. I will build My church. Now this is one of those you can take it to the bank promises, this next verse, the next part of this verse, right? What I do cannot be stopped, cannot be prevented, cannot be hindered. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The work that God does, Job, in the 14th chapter of the book of Job, if I remember right, and I'm paraphrasing here, I'm not quoting, but God's going to see the results of His efforts, right? He's going to see the results of the work of His hands because He's God. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The eternal heaven is what backs, that's what's behind the backing, if you please, of the work of the gospel minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. When the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is preached, it's not preached for the glorification and the exaltation of the preacher. You know? It's not that we can, you know, pat Brother Craig or Brother Greg or Brother Aaron or Brother Selba on the back and say, man, you're great. You know? That's not what preaching is about. It's for the people. It's for those that Jesus Christ has placed in His church. And if I understand correctly the method, the means by which that is done, it's the work of regeneration. When the Holy Spirit takes up His abode in the child of God, that one that God has loved from everlasting, and that's by God's choice, God chooses to quicken whom He will. That's what Jesus said in another place, I quickeneth whom I will. That's the elect, as we refer to them from the writings of Paul. Those are the ones that Dad called are in the militant church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Dad had two adjectives, I guess you would call them, if I know my English grammar enough. The militant church and the church triumphant. When we all get to heaven after the resurrection, and we're all conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are going to be the church triumphant. But while we're here today on, what is today, March the 20th, right? 2024, we are the church militant. If Jesus Christ has chosen us as we believe and profess that He has and sent the Holy Spirit into our souls to quicken us, to make us alive, to born us from above, to born us again, then we are the church militant. We are the church at war. And just like the children of Israel had a trumpet, that two trumpets, by the way, that they were supposed to sound when they got ready to go to war, so do we. We've got a trumpet, and that's what we're doing, is sounding that trumpet today. And that's what we've been engaged in the last couple of days. Blowing the gospel trumpet, because we're at war against the world and all that is in the world. What is that? What did John say? All that is in the world. Somebody tell me. So, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's the battlefront, dear child of God. And that abides in our nature. So the first front of the battle is within us. It's within us. We've been called out of that darkness. We've been called out of a life of lust and pride and sin to come into God's kingdom and enjoy our inheritance, which is the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost. And to realize in the depth of our being that we don't need to worry about anything, because we got nothing to worry about, because we can pray about everything. Boy, that was so wonderful, Brother Craig. I love that. Donna said this morning, I hope I remember that sermon a long time. And I do too. But I'm like her. I'm a worrier too. And most recently, I've been worried about her with her knee surgery. Yeah. And I got to confess, I didn't pray about it like I should have. I didn't. And that's probably one of the reasons why I was worried about it, anxious about her. It was because I wasn't praying for her and praying about that circumstance like I should have. If I've been born of the Lord, like He's described here to Peter, if I've been placed into the church, what Dad called the militant church of the Lord Jesus Christ, I have the power to be able to do what we've been told this week, to stop worrying and to pray each and every day. How did Paul put it? Without ceasing, right? Pray without ceasing. A little later on, I believe Peter spells out those keys. It's those things that we're supposed to add to our faith. We're not going to... That's not on my agenda this morning, right, for part of this lesson. But I'm going to leave that for you. It's in Peter's writings, 2 Peter, I think, the first chapter. But y'all can add to your faith virtue, knowledge, temperance. You know, those seven keys. There are seven keys. And it's that 11th verse, if I remember correctly, that kind of sums it all up. We that have been given faith, we that have been born of the Spirit of God, we've been given, been dealt that measure of faith. We are to add to that faith so that an entrance might be ministered unto us abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of His Lord Jesus Christ. So to me, in my mind, if we are going to take advantage of the keys that God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given to Peter, and he's laid out in his writings, then we've got to do what the gospel tells us to do. We've got to be obedient. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Get thee behind me, Satan. Talking to Peter now. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those things that be of men. Peter wanted to hang on to what he was seeing with his natural eye. I think Peter and the others at this point in time in their ministry were looking for a restoration of the glory of the kingdom of Israel. David's day and Solomon's day. They wanted to come out from underneath the Roman yoke. Not in the manner which God had ordained for them to come out from underneath it, but in the manner that they perceived. That's kind of like Selma. You know, I want every day to be a holiday and every meal to be a picnic, right? I don't want to have to do the homework. I don't want to have to do the work. I want to ask God to do it for me. I want God to do what God requires of me to do. That's our nature. See, when we get into that mindset and we get along that pathway, we need to realize that that's the old man talking to us, not the new man, not that one that's been born of the Spirit of God. The one that's been born of the Spirit of God is ready to do anything and everything that God requires of him. But that old man's going to sit up on that shoulder and he's going to pull you back and say, well, you don't really have to do that. Somebody else will take care of that. Somebody else will do that. Somebody needs to do that. That's the way we hear it, right? We all can see what needs to be done, but you know, it's always somebody else. That's when we take on this image of Satan. When we have been born of the Spirit of God and we've been given the ability to take hold of our inheritance, and we're being like Peter here. We want things the way we perceive them to be, not the way that God has ordered them to be. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You remember that image that I tried to paint for you in words last night, or yesterday afternoon it was, I guess, about God in His hands? We can take everything that we perceive as valuable out of the left hand of God. Because it's His. You know, He created it. That's the part of that image that maybe I didn't try to get across just afternoon, but everything that we see in the world is God's. It's His. But see, God has regenerated us and called us and given us the opportunity to take Him by the hand. We can take what's in His other hand, grab a hold of it, cling to it, hang on to it, pursue it, set it up in our hearts and in our minds as the most important thing to us. We do that by our behavior, right? By our choices, by our actions. I've got this notion in my mind that I demonstrate to you what I believe by what I do. I demonstrate to you what I believe by what I do. My actions define my heart, don't they? What's in here comes out in the actions of my life. Yeah. If we're saints of God, we need to be behaving like saints. Yeah. We need to be demonstrating to one another and to the world who we believe we are, who we profess to be. We don't need to be harboring that being blessed and highly favored within us and then go out there and try to fit in with the world. You know, so we don't seem so peculiar to them. You know, we want to fit in. We want to be a part. Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of His Father with His angels, and then He shall reward every man according to his works. We're living that today. That's what I believe. The angels, God's called ministers. That's what I understand that word to mean here. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, is alive and well. And it has been established upon the earth. And it's not for the world. Daniel said it will not be left to other people. It's for the church. The kingdom of God is for the church, just as the land of Canaan was for the children of Israel. I'm not sure that I can say it technically correct, but the Greek word, as I understand it, for church is ecclesia. And that may not be exactly right in the pronunciation of it, but I think it's close. But it literally means, the Greek word literally means called out. Called out. I will build my church. And then He set up an order, a process, if you please, of what we are to do with what He has done to us and for us. The Goshen Primitive Baptist Church, the Shiloh Primitive Baptist Church, all of our sister churches, I look at them as beacons set upon a hill, as a place where God's elect that have been born of the Spirit of God that's still out there can look and see where, hey, there's some of my brothers and sisters, there's some of my family members that's doing it right, that's enjoying the righteousness and the peace and the joy in the Holy Ghost. And I hope you know me well enough to know that this is not buying a ticket to heaven, right? All of what we're talking about this morning is not in order so that we'll have that ticket in our pocket when we pass from this life and be able to go to heaven and be with Him throughout eternity. You see, in my understanding of what this book declares, that's done. That's sealed. That's set. And what we have today is because of that. We're not going to have that in eternity because of what's going on today with us and in us. We can't have our inheritance here. if we don't have that already. You know, the simplified way of saying it, that's what I like to do in my discussions with folks. I like to kind of boil it down to the nitty-gritty, to the simple things. You can't have salvation without redemption. If you haven't been redeemed, you can't be saved. Because salvation, as I understand it taught in the Bible, pertains to time. It's talking about being able to enter the kingdom of God here and now and have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost in your life today. Today is the day of salvation. And we draw wells of water out of that salvation to sustain our life, to keep us alive. You ever work real hard and get real thirsty? And there's nothing that satisfies more than that cold glass of water. That's kind of like a sermon. When you're hungering and thirsting after the things that regenerated soul hungers and thirsts for, that good sermon's like a good cold glass of water. And it satisfies till they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading and the study of His Word. Is my prayer for Christ's sake.